Blog Talk Radio.
From Los Angeles, California, the music capital of America, it's Music Friday Live, brought to you by World Arts, a global stage for artists and for the music industry and also for fans, and also brought to you by MySanFelipeVacation.com, which is your way to have the vacation of your life on the Sea of Cortez. I'm your host, Patrick O'Heffernan. Stay tuned for music. We have a heck of a lineup today. We have got blues, rock, and we have a very, very interesting singer-songwriter. Well, this is Patrick O'Heffernan. I'm your host here on Music Friday Live, and I want to remind everybody, you know, this is your show. We are here, and our guests are here to talk with you, so you can call in 347-215-7511, and if you're there at work and you can't call in, well, you know, email us, musicfridaylive@gmail.com. I have a special message for our Los Angeles listeners. Tonight, at the Mint, you all know the Mint, the oldest rock and roll venue in Los Angeles on Pico out by La Cienega, the Hot 8 Brass Band is going to be playing. You've seen them on television. You've seen them in the movies. You saw all the news broadcasts about them playing for refugees during the Katrina. There's even a documentary on them, right? So they're going to be here live, 11 p.m. Saturday night at the Mint. You can go in and enjoy their unique horn-driven funkadelic sound. You can dance. They tell a lot of jokes. They're very funny. Don't miss it if you're in Los Angeles. That's Saturday night, 11 o'clock at the Mint. Well, it's Los Angeles, you know, and I know all of my my listeners out there in New York and New Jersey and St. Louis and places that have winter are going to go, oh, Patrick, but I woke up this morning and it was 47 degrees. Not supposed to happen here in Los Angeles. It's sunny, but 47 degrees. And you know, this weekend is the Spirit Awards, and I know a lot of people who are working on the Spirit Awards, and the Spirit Awards are held in these huge tents on the beach in Santa Monica, and they're going to be freezing out there. Tomorrow, you know, the movie stars are going to show up. They're going to walk the red carpet, and they're probably going to be shivering as they're walking it very quickly to get inside the tent where the heaters are. And I understand tomorrow it's going to rain too. So if you're an independent movie fan, you should check out the Spirit Awards on the IFC network and see how much goose flesh you might be seeing there, because I suspect there's going to be a lot. Well, I want to tell everybody about our broadcast partner. We really love our broadcast partner, World Arts. In fact, why don't we let World Arts tell you about themselves?
World Arts brings the entire music world together on one global stage. We give artists the tools to sell and license their music, interact with industry pros, and play live to a whole new audience. Wherever they are on their journey, we want artists to get paid for what they create. At World Arts, fans can discover new songs, get exclusive rewards, and crowdfund projects for artists. Brands can offer opportunities for artists to create original content that fans can instantly vote on and share. World Arts is the global music platform where we can all rise above the noise. Take your career to the next level. Discover new artists. At World Arts, it's all about the music.
Yep, it's all about the music. I just want to let everybody know, we are members of World Arts, and they've got a great stage, they've got a great venue, but also the platform is great. So if you're a music fan, if you're a band, or if you're involved in the music industry in any way, you should be a member of World Arts. Well, we have a great guest coming up, Drew Southern, and I want to play a little bit of his music because it's there's nothing like it. This is Buff. That is what Drew Southern does. Unfortunately, one thing he doesn't do is call in. He's supposed to be with us, and I think something happened. We talked to him about half an hour ago, and everything was fine. So we're going to keep playing his music, but just in a little bit, let me tell you about Drew. I first encountered him at a club in Santa Monica called The Trip. And I was actually there for another band. I was there to see the punk duo Vanilla Sugar, who will be on the show in about a month after they get back from South by Southwest. But I got there early, as I frequently do. And when I walked in, I was initially hit with what you just heard. Okay. All right. Those incredible guitar riffs. They're pouring out of a young, soulful, really energetic blues band led by the chops-heavy person you just heard, Drew Southern. Now, he's traveled the country. He's soaked up blues while sharing stages with the likes of Big Brother and the Holding Company and other iconic blues band. And as you just heard, he has kind of put together his own style. It's a very, very interesting style, too. It is hard rock blues. And I think that his guitar chops are just amazing. So he has singles out, no album yet, and you just heard one of them. You heard Buff, but I'm gonna play you. Wanna play Mask of Chains, which is another single of his out. But I wanna do something a little different. So first of all, let's listen to about a minute of Mask and Chains. But before we do that, here's the man himself. Hi, Drew.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. We just listened to Buff, and I told everybody where I first met you. And I wanted to, but we're going to play Mask of Chains in a minute, but I wanted to get a little history from you.
Yeah.
When did you first start playing music?
Actually, I started playing, pretty young. I started, my first instrument was the violin. I was playing the violin. Yeah, it's probably maybe I was 7 or so, and but then I stopped playing for a while. I played violin for 6 years, played in a youth orchestra, but then I stopped, and I didn't really play music for a while. I was really into film and stuff, and I actually didn't pick up the guitar until I was 21 years old, and so I'm picked up, and yeah, and so but I was obsessed. What I did is I graduated college. And I had this wonderful, parting of the clouds, supreme moment of clarity. And I knew I was going to play music. And so I thought my idea was to pick up the violin again. And I did. And that was going good. And, I was learning quickly, refreshing everything. My roommate had a guitar. I was like, got excited. I picked up and with the frets and everything, it just, things went really fast. And within 6-7 months, I got an electric and I got on stage at a blues jam with something 6-7 months of playing and ripped my first guitar solo. And that day I played live in front of people. It was just kind of a sleepy blues jam. There's maybe 20 people there, maybe people dancing, but I played I hit the tube screamer. I took a solo. And oh my God, my eyes rolled back in my head. I felt like I had got REM sleep just from that little guitar. I stayed up all night after that. I couldn't sleep. I was crying. And I went home and I watched hours of SRV videos that night. I didn't sleep the whole night. I was just so thrilled. And I knew that, it was the best feeling ever. So I was pretty hooked at that point.
So you've always been a blues guy then?
You didn't
go through any other. Okay. And you mentioned the move, you said the word frets, and of course a violin is a fretless instrument and the guitar is fretted. Our listeners who aren't musicians, frets are those bars across that go down across the arm of the guitar, which I guess help you tell where your fingers are, right?
They kind of, compared to the violin, it's, the guitar can be a little more crude, right? The violin you know, it's the to get the pitch, you know, of good ears, you know, so, you know, really precise about the pitch and everything. And yeah, you know, the guitar can be a little crude. Guitar is such a beautiful instrument, you know. It's like, I mean, this what I felt about the guitar reading. I was like, wow, like I could have a couple beers and play this thing. <laughs> You know? Like, you know, the vibe. Like, you know, you could be like, so something. I mean, the guitar is the best instrument in the world. Like, let's be honest. You know, it's like you could the way the violin also is. You know, it's up really musically pleasing, but the guitar kind of sits in the middle. You can do lots. You can accompany your voice. You electrify it, you know, you can, it's like an orchestra with, you know, there's harmonies and chords. You don't really do that on the violin. There's, you know, it's, you could put all, it works with all different kinds of styles. You could hear it in pop music and funk, you know, to classical, like, you know,
yeah,
this crazy shred, like blues. I mean, you could, it's, the guitar is one of the most versatile. And for the longest time, I always thought that the tones of the violin, I couldn't quite match on the guitar. You couldn't. Until you, the more I get into the electric, you know, you get some of the most amazing tones, you know, with a little saturation,
yeah,
distortion, and everything, and some wah pedal, you get whatever tone you want. It's amazing. So,
okay,
yeah.
All right. Well, you know, it takes single-minded drive and practice to play as well as you do. Where do you see yourself? Are you think you're now a master of the instrument, or you have a whole lot more to learn, or both?
I definitely have a whole lot more to learn. I don't, you know, kind of feel that mastered it by any means. But, you know, what's interesting is I do feel really confident and comfortable with what I can do, you know? Like, I feel I'm in a really good place for the longest time. So when I started, like, you know, it was like 7 years ago, and I was just playing, you know, 6 hours a day, and, you know, just getting, and I started going to bar, started gigging, like going to bar gigs, you know, I did this in San Francisco for years, just going, playing bars like 3-4 nights a week. And for the longest time, I just didn't know, you kind of didn't know what the sound was I was going to be making. Some nights my tone would be on, I love it. Some nights I'd just be fighting it. So, you know, and I've gotten to a point where they can give me an amp and a guitar and I can really quickly get a tone that I like. Pedals I use with my specific rig that I use, I just fully understand it, what everything does, and how to get the sounds, that just to get me a sound that I can work with. I feel good. I can play all night long. I'm happy with it. Enjoy it. And just understand, like, the sound that I prefer, that I like, that I, you know, can just create right away. That's the thing that took a long time, to get your kind of tone, to get in a space where you're really confident in tone and stuff like that. Now, there's a million things more to learn, you know, and, like, I'm evolving and I'm trying new things and, you know, and places to go. I mean, because especially if you think about styles, like, you know, blues is my, that's the style I put the most energy in. But, you know, if I want to chicken pick a little bit, I know, like, a couple licks, you know, it's not, I don't really do that much. There's a million, or, you know, there's a million places to go on the guitar. You're never, there's never,
sure,
never mastered at all. So,
well, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
When you're up there playing those riffs, what goes through your mind? Are you counting measures? Are you keeping the beat? Are you not thinking
never.
At all? Are you thinking about the next line? What's going through your head?
I don't think about anything. Definitely, you know, the littlest thinking possible. I'm literally, it's like, I guess it's kind of cool. I guess it's like a little meditation or Zen. Then it's like completely cleared mind. I don't think about anything.
Okay.
Never counting. Never. I'm never really big on, like, I know some, you know, music theory to get by. I can, you know, read some charts. I read music when I played violin. So, you know, but I don't think about any of that stuff when I play. It's all feel and just feeling. It, you know, yeah. At this point, it's
all
totally.
Right.
Yeah.
We are talking with Drew Southern, and you can talk with him too. You can call in 347-215-7511, or you can email us. You can email us at musicfridaylive@gmail.com. Well, I want to play some more of your music here, and I'm going to experiment a little bit. I want to play about a minute of Mask of Change. So here is Mask of Change, first minute.
Thank you.
Now, that is pretty unmistakable hard blues rock. It's more hard than, you know, somebody like the Stones or the Black Keys or the Allman Brothers, but we know it immediately when we hear it. The foundation is blues. And that's where you solidly come from, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, now I want to play the second minute of that song. This is the second minute of Mask of Chains. That is a whole different animal, and it's in the same song. You know? Sounds like you were you improvising, or did you kind of plan to do that?
Oh, total improvise. I'd improvise. That might have been the first take. A lot of guitar solos I do the first take. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. Well, you know, I introduced you as a blues rock guy, but obviously you go really far beyond blues rock when you want to. And I appreciate it, too. The fact that you have that kind of range is remarkable. And you do very visceral music. No words, no lyrics in most places. You rely on notes and riffs to get your meaning across. Or are you trying to get a meaning across? Is that your goal? Or are you just spacing out and making sound?
I like spacing out and making sound. I think that's a really great description. But I think, also like Buff and Jellyfish, I did that in what I call the Arte style. It's me and my friends, we basically improvise something, and whatever the first take is, that's it. And so, you know, it's kind of good for, it's like an exercise. You know, whatever your first feeling is, you're inspired, you make. And then so many people will start judging or criticizing, oh, that's not good enough, oh, I don't like that, we should change that. And oh, my God, they go on and on and on. I can't stand it. I like to move fast. I don't, you know, I like being in the studio, but I don't want to spend, you know, I just want to get it, make it happen and go on to the next thing. So, like Buff and Jellyfish, I went in with a buddy Blake and just, you know, we didn't have any idea what I was going to do, in the studio. And they're like, all right, what are you going to do? And I said, and I think for like Jellyfish, I was like, over the monitor, I was saying, I'm going to do Voodoo Child. And I'm like, okay, and then I just did that. Because it was me and a drummer, so I could do whatever I wanted. And I overdubbed the bass myself after. So it was totally improvised. So that stuff is, like, more improvised. Now, Mask of Change was something I spent, like, my friend was, it was in the studio Rehab Recorders in Berkeley. Was it Jason Carmer, who worked with Third Eye Blind and stuff. It's his studio. It's a really nice studio up there. And my friend's, like, he's engineering there. He's like, Drew, why don't you come in and record something? I was like, great. So I spent a little bit more time on Mask of Chains, like writing it. I got the initial riff, that bang, 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 and I would spend a little bit more time. I, you know, wrote some lyrics. That was a little more like kind of produced thing that I did. So it really just depends. You know, sometimes I would maybe a little more deliberate and take some time. Sometimes it's just, you know, let it rip and see what happens.
Let it rip, huh? We got some emails. We got some people who have some questions for you. So Beamer in Hollywood wants to know, will you be playing here in the Los Angeles? And wants to know, have you ever played at the LA or the Ventura Blues Festivals?
I've never played those blues festivals. I would love to. And I am playing March 10th at Hotel Cafe.
Wow.
So,
good.
In Hollywood.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, Beamer and everybody else in my Los Angeles audience, mark that down on your calendars, March 10th at the Hotel Cafe. Do you know if you're going to be in the big room or the little room?
The big room.
Yay.
And Yep, and we're playing after my really good friends from San Francisco, Hibbity Dibbity. Really good kind of jam band.
Swamp.
Oh, cool. Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Those are my brothers, and so we're playing. It's a great bill.
It is.
And,
so it's March 10th at the Hotel Cafe in the Big Room. Cecily
yes,
in Paramount wants to know, do you ever play in punk bands, or have you ever played in a punk band?
Oh, that's a wonderful question. I'm actually wearing a T-shirt from a punk band right now called Downtown Brown. And this guy is amazing. He's from Detroit. He's punk, and he's just out here in L.A. Just recently moved. He's incredible. Funny enough, I've never played in a punk band, but I have that, like, I can relate to that energy. I love Jack
yep.
White. You know, I'm just can kind of, like, really push on my sound, you know. And, like, obviously in punk, that's, like, so I've never done that, but I could totally, like, vibe with that, yeah.
All right. We've got Lester in Austin who wants to know if you're coming to South by Southwest this year.
Oh, that's so great. I was planning on it because actually, you know, what I was thinking about doing was with Hibbity Dibbity after our show March 10th, heading out to South by Southwest, but they're not going anymore. So I'm reevaluating my plans. I want to. And I planned on it, so I'm, looking for a way to make that happen still.
Okay. Do you have a showcase or a sponsor?
No, I don't have any showcase or anything like that, but I was just going to go kind of maybe show with my Stratocaster and find some bars.
Okay. Well, there's lots of them. Well, you may have just answered the next email's question. It's from Riha in Los Angeles, and Riha wants to know, what kind of guitar do you play, and do you have a whole collection of guitars?
That's a great question. I play a Fender Stratocaster. That's my go-to, and it's a custom-made. I have Van Zandt pickups, and it's a 2005 Mexican body, and I put all the rest of it together. A lot of gold, a custom pick guard that I designed myself. You can see it on my Instagram. I spent a lot of time making that, and it's gorgeous and it's perfect. And so I play that Stratocaster. Also, I have like a 335. But the mm-hmm. Epiphone version that mm-hmm. I play a lot. And those are my two guitars, actually. I had a Les Paul recording model, which was it's a very groovy thing Les Paul made in the 70s with Jimmy Page. It's a beautiful guitar. And I sold that to help in the Move to L.A. efforts. The next things down the line is I'm a Flying V and a 59 Les Paul reissue. These are the things coming down the pipeline.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to seeing you live with those in your hand. We're almost
Thank
out
you,
of
sir.
Time here, but we do have time to play one more song, and you've mentioned it a couple of times,
Wonderful.
So let's play Jellyfish. And that's kind of a really stripped down song, just you and a drummer, and you said you laid in the bass later. Do you prefer that, this really stripped down sound?
Yeah, I do love it. I love it all. The stripped down raw stuff is really fun, and I also, when you get the opportunity, to make a huge sound and spend more time and parts and stuff like that. I love that too. So, that was I love making, I love creating. And so, you know, that, you know, was just one where I got an opportunity to go in the studio and I just whipped something up on the spot. So that's really fun. I love doing that a lot. You know, if the best, when I get a situation where like, okay, here, we're going to record you, create whatever you want, go, I'll come up with riff after riff after riff, and it's, I can go all day. So I love that.
Oh, that's
stuff.
Right. Every musician likes to hear, record whatever you want. Well, unfortunately, we don't want to, but we have to unrecord at this point. We are out of time.
Okay.
Where do people go to get your music, Drew?
Absolutely. You go to iTunes or Bandcamp, search Drew Southern, Drew Southern Mask of Chains, and you will find my music. Also, you can check out my website, drewsouthern.com, and Instagram, Drew Southern. Those are great places to find my music and follow me and, you know, see what's up.
And let's remind everybody in the Los Angeles area that you're going to be at the Hotel Cafe, and that's on Cahuenga between Hollywood and Sunset. Don't drive there tonight because they're all closed off for the Oscars. But on March 10th, everything should be just fine. And you know what time you come on?
Yeah, come on at midnight.
Ooh, you got the big spot. For those of you who haven't been to the Hotel Cafe, the line starts at about 11 p.m. So he's there at a great time. Get there early. So that's March 10th at the Hotel Cafe. Well, Drew, thank you so much for being with us today. Thank you for great blues rock. Check out those blues festivals. There's one in L.A. And apparently there's one in, according to our emailer, there's one in Ventura too. And they would probably love to have you there.
That would be fantastic. Yes, and if there's any listeners that want to send me something, please send me a message through my website or Instagram. I would love to find ways to those festivals. That sounds beautiful and fantastic.
Okay. Well, again, Drew, thank you for being with us today. That's Drew Southern. Follow him at drewsouthern.com or on Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, or iTunes. Well, we're going to take a break right now, and when we return, Seth Adams. So don't go away. You are not going to want to miss this. But in the meantime, we're going to take a little trip to Mexico.
Just 2 hours south of the California border lies the enchanting seaside town of San Felipe, Baja California, where friendly people, warm waters, and a relaxing vacation awaits. And it all starts at www.mysanfelipevacation.com. Whether you choose to golf on the 18-hole championship course overlooking the Sea of Cortez with friends, enjoy a romantic weekend for two on the beach, or take the whole family for a fun-filled weekend of shopping and activities, you'll be sure to find just the right accommodations at mysanfelipevacation.com. So what are you waiting for? Isn't it time you got away? Visit www.mysanfelipevacation.com today. That's www.mysanfelipevacation.com. See you in San Felipe.
Well, if you are in Southern California, Arizona, take one of those great vacations. Go down to the Sea of Cortez, and you can do it with mysanfelipevacation.com. It's the place for accommodations in San Felipe and La Hacienda Beach and even the mountainside homes and stunning El Dorado Ranch. So when you go to mysanfelipevacation.com, put in the discount code MFLA5, Music Friday Los Angeles 5, and you'll get an immediate 5% discount on your hotel and your and everything there. So that's mysanfelipevacation.com, and it's MFLA5 for a great vacation. Well, Seth Adam has been playing music since he was 5 years old. He started with his elementary school chorus and performed his first rock and roll gig at 14, and he never looked back. Influenced by a diverse but kind of understandable list of musicians, including Elvis Presley, Johnny Cash, Counting Crows, Led Zeppelin, and Kenny Rogers, there's a combination for you, he's become one of the country's most unique and emotionally powerful talents. So you can call it blues, you can call it country, you can call it alt something or other, it doesn't matter, because whatever you call it, Seth Adam music hits us in the gut and we love it. He spent 2015 performing and touring mostly alone, although he has opened for the likes of Robert Cray, among others. always creative. He's now writing and recording and releasing one song per month all by himself. And that's what we call total control. The project is called East Rock, and it's now available at Bandcamp. And meanwhile, now available is the man himself right here. Welcome to Music Friday Live. Hi. Are you there?
Yeah. Hello. Can you hear me?
Hi. Yes, we can hear you. I hear something going beep in the background.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. Are you listening to us on a radio? Because I hear a radio
car.
In the background.
I'll switch it up here.
Okay, there we go. All right. Well, Seth, I spent a – oh, we just lost him. Okay, well, we will get him back. It sounds like he was on a cell phone, and you know how cell phones are. And this happens, which is why we have the backup numbers for all of our musicians. And I suppose he's probably trying to call us in, but I think our engineer is trying to call him in. Here he is. Okay, he's back. Okay. Hi there. You're back. You're back now. All right. Well, we were just going to say that I listened to your albums, spent most of yesterday afternoon listening to your music, not only the East Rock songs you sent me, but also the Steel Tempered Pride album and the Seth Adam album. And, you know, your styles are diverse, but your emotional impact is consistent all the way through every song. Every song feels like you're telling a story. And sometimes it's a good story and sometimes it's a sad story, but it's always kind of a human story. Is that what happens when you've been playing music for as long as you have, that you always have a story?
I think I like to try to, you know, base the songs on stories for sure, because I think that's what songs should be about, to be able to tell a story. The oldest tradition amongst humans is to pass stories along, and I don't think music is any different than that. So the idea to write something relatable is always in the forefront of my mind when writing a song.
Well, it works, and I love the concepts and the lyrics in your songs and your stories. And I want to start with one of those here. I want to play a song called Who's America? And I listened to this several times yesterday, and it's sort of at the top of my own personal playlist. So, Who's America?
Rattle your sabers and shout your cursing words. And it doesn't cut your skin, and it doesn't really hurt. There is no compromise, it's outside your belief. You're so courageous when you take away from me.
I love that line. So whose America are you wanting it to be? Whose America do you think that it should be? That's the question the song asks. Now, the verses tell us that the subject of the song, who I believe is a Make America Great Again supporter, yeah, wants to keep browns out and blacks down and build walls. But the song doesn't tell us what your answer is to the question. What would you like America to be?
Well, I mean, that was kind of the point of the story. It was to take the information being put out there. First of all, I started writing the song over the summer as a response. Ugly. Some opinion, horrible. But the question is being posed to supporters of those ideals.
I think we're losing him. So I want to, while we try to find out where he went, I want to play a little more of that song, because it's such a great song. This is a little more of Who's America.
Cursing words. When it doesn't cut your skin and it doesn't really hurt.
Okay, he's back, and that gave us an opportunity to listen to that wonderful song again. So you were saying that you wrote it in 2016, and
wrote it this past summer in a response to some of the what I would consider to be ugly campaigning from the Republican nominee at the time. And while I don't specifically offer any solutions, because I don't think that's what I wanted to accomplish with the song was to basically represent the rhetoric to people that support those ideals, and then just simply ask them the question, whose America do you want it to be? Do you want it to be this all white, all Christian, all sterile version that's being presented to you, or do you want it to be inclusive, and do you want it to have diversity? I just wanted to present some of the rhetoric in a satirical kind of fashion, and then ask supporters of that, what kind of country do you want?
It's a great question, and of course, a lot of people forget that America has never been all white and all Christian. In fact, about a quarter of America used to be Mexico. And
yeah,
and I live in that quarter, and it's a wonderful place to live. I really do enjoy it. You've got another song that kind of asks questions. It's just as urgent, but it sounds like it came out of a Louisiana country crossroads, sort of a kind of Charlie Daniels song. This is Politician. Now that song, which is really, really engaging music, I just love that the music in that. It's from the perspective of a laid off factory worker, but the majority of laid off factory workers, those people voted for the GOP. So I'm not sure in that song if you're recognizing that or if you're mocking it when you write the lines. You've got the answers, we've got the cancers, which is a great line. Was there What were you saying there? What were you communicating?
With that song, I just wanted to kind of mock politicians,
okay,
especially professional ones. But I see a lot of touring, and I see a lot of people, and I do go to those areas where, you know, the jobs are gone, and why they're gone could be a whole other discussion, but I don't think there's a lot of politicians really offering any concrete solutions to people that have lost their jobs throughout time. So, you know, you've got the answers is kind of being sarcastic, you know, patronizing. Oh, you're so smart. You're the politician. You have all the answers while we have all the garbage. You know, we get lost in the dust. And I think the song is kind of a criticism of politicians. Thus the title.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. And I get that you're very skeptical of politicians, as is most of the United States population, and with good reason. Now that the election's over, and you've seen how the vote's gone from those people that you're singing about here, or from whose perspective it is there a follow-up song?
I think the next round of songs that I'll be doing will be a full-length record, and it'll be a little bit more in the tradition of Bob Dylan and Phil Oakes, in the sense that it's protest music. But I do believe in inclusion. I hate the idea of having my side, your side, blue, red, black, white, you know. I believe in the original, what I believe to be the original mission of America, which is a melting pot, and just offer some perspectives that I can offer and just get people thinking, you know. I don't think there's any short-term solutions to the problems in front of us. I believe that music plays an integral part in trying to provoke thought as well as free speech. And I think time is ripe for those kinds of.
Okay. All right. We're talking with Seth Adam. You can talk with him too. You can call us at 347-215-7511, or you can email us. I already got a couple of emails. You can email us at musicfridaylive@gmail.com. Why don't we go to some of the emails that came in? Because obviously, since they came in before I announced the email address, people were listening. This is Cindy in Tampa. And Cindy says, this is kind of interesting. When did your journey going to New York City, did you think about moving there? I think she's talking about a song that you did or a video you did going to New York City.
Oh, yeah, New York City Bound.
Yeah, she wants to know if you ever thought about moving to New York City.
Yeah, I live close to the city. I live in New Haven, Connecticut. So New York City is about an hour and a half away. And I was 29 when I went back. Which was a little bit of a rough job market. But I really didn't have any desire to be in New Haven anymore. And I wanted to move to New York. But it's very cost prohibitive. So I wrote a song about it instead, basically.
Okay.
That's where that
Mandy was. In Tampa says, you just said that you wanted to be inclusive. So where in your music do you talk about all the other people? I'm not too sure who she means by the other people, but we can conjecture on that one.
I'm not sure what other people she's referring to, but I think the idea of inclusion for me comes from being able to travel and meet a lot of different people. West Virginia over the fall and had a great conversation with someone that was supporting President Trump. And we had a good talk about, you know, the country moving forward. And I think, you know, that's the ideological difference between a lot of people, is that everybody seemingly wants to move the country forward. We just have different ideas on how to get there. So I think the idea of inclusion would be for me to present some things that are on my mind, and that would include people to either take it in and think about it themselves, or agree with it, disagree with it. It's basically about presenting information, you know, through
song. And of course,
along
the way, you probably listened to some too.
Little bit here and there. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay. I wanted to ask you about the East Rock Project, which we've been playing songs from. You're approaching the recording and the distributing process of music in a rather unique way, doing it all yourself. Can you describe exactly what you're doing and why you're doing it that way?
Yeah, about 2 or 3 years ago, I put out that Steel Tempered Pride record. And then about a year after that, found myself somewhat bandless. So after wallowing around in self-pity and depression, I just decided to kick myself in the rear and start playing solo and traveling solo, doing as much as I could. So with that mentality, that kind of just translated into the recording process. And I bought a few items to just do some home demos. and get some song ideas down. And then this past year, I just decided, well, I'll just do some real full-on recordings and just do the best I can with the limited pieces of gear that I have and do everything myself. It'd be easy to go to a studio, but it's also expensive. So in an effort to save money and have the experiment without having to worry about cost, I just decided to do everything myself.
Okay. All right. Well, it seems to be working because you created some great music, and here's one of the songs that you wrote. Is Sweet Memories, and that also, I understand, was written in the rather tumultuous summer of 2016, and it was written about the parents of people killed by police and also about the parents of police who've been killed. Am I right on that?
Yeah, I mean, the catalyst was seeing, you know, people get shot. It doesn't matter if they're wearing a blue uniform or a t-shirt. And just thinking about the mothers and the fathers who have to lose their children and how, you know, really painful that must be. And, you know, I'm just one single person living in the Northeast, and there's only so much I can do. And it was my way of trying to like reach out and offer some comfort, even though I have no idea what it's like to feel that way. I can only imagine how tragic it is, but I think it needed to be written about.
Why did that particular issue or dynamic in our society grab you and initiate such a powerful song?
Whether we admit or not, and I'm sure some people will disagree, to a certain degree, we have a violent society, and I wish it was a little bit more peaceful. And as a result of the violence, you know, people lose family members, they lose friends, they lose daughters, they lose sons. And, you know, the world is never going to be, I understand there is always going to be some kind of confrontation, but for some reason it just seemed to be happening so often, or just seemed to be reported on so often over the summer and all these different incidents, that it really tugged at me, and I wanted to say something about it.
Well, what you said about it, when all your hope is gone, just keep holding on to sweet memories. That's a pretty powerful statement, and I hope we never get to the point where all we have are sweet memories. Well, there's one last song that I want to play, because we are getting a little tight on time, and this is
sure.
This is Settle Down. Settling down Seems like kind of a hard thing to do for a singer song for any singer songwriter. Have you done it? Are you settled down?
I'm settled down. I got married last May, and actually have a child on the way.
Wait a minute. Did you say you got married last night?
May.
Okay. May. Right. We had a little static in there.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Well, congratulations. Congratulations. You're going to be a dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good for you. Do you know if it's a son or a daughter?
We're going to wait. We're going to find out. And be surprised. Yeah.
All right. Well, let me tell you, they change your life, and
yes.
they get better as they get older. Okay.
<Great.
laughs> we got a couple or more emails here I wanted to get in. Talel in Dallas wants to know if you've ever used your music to raise money for causes.
Indirectly, I'm a big dog shelter, dog advocate. Where I live around here, my dog is a rescue dog.
Mine too.
Excellent, beautiful. Where I live around here, there's a number of associations that try to help facilitate adoptions and fosters with the local animal shelters. So very often, at least a few times a year, I'll play at their benefits to raise money, or not just raise money, but they also have adoption events that I play at. So,
yay, good for you.
An indirect usage of my.
And a great one too. There are two 95-pound dogs that are here in the studio, both
wow.
of whom are rescues. One of which is mine, and one of which is my dog's boyfriend, who comes over and plays. And they were both rescue dogs, and they were both a year old when they were adopted.
Wow.
Deliberately look for older dogs because I know they're harder to adopt. And we're getting tons of emails congratulating you on getting married, on becoming a father. Right. And we have an email here from Selma in Los Angeles who says, is your dog's picture on your Instagram?
I think there's a number of pictures of my dog on my Instagram.
Okay. Well, you should hear that, Selma. So you can go right to his Instagram, and I'm sure your traffic is going to spike now from all the dog lovers out there. Well, congratulations. I was looking at watching a documentary last night on therapy dogs used in prisons. And the essentially the point of the documentary was by bringing dogs in to prisons and allowing prisoners to make friends with dogs and have dogs around them, it makes everybody feel better, behavior gets better, and people get out of prison faster. Dogs are just magic. Yeah,
it's
dogs are magic.
Was that Dogs on the Inside by any chance? Is that the name of the documentary? Dogs
no,
on the
I don't
Inside?
I don't think that was what it was
no.
called.
Okay.
And I only saw, I happened to walk to the living room and my wife was watching it and, happened to catch a little bit of it. Well, you're on tour now. And you've got a whole lot of dates. They're all on the East Coast though, pretty much. You're not going to be out here to see us on the West Coast, are you?
Not initially, but I am going to be out on the West Coast next week.
Oh, you are?
Delayed honeymoon. Yeah, I'm going to be in Los Angeles for a few days. No.
Yay.
Strictly honeymoon. I got to be the
husband. You're not playing music while you're here, though.
No. I do plan to get out there at some point this year to play.
Okay, all right. Well, let us know. But in the meantime, where can people go to see your dates so those people on the East Coast can see you live?
Simple. SethAdam.com. Just go to SethAdam.com and all the links to the social networks are on there, as well as dates and music, photos,
okay.
et cetera.
I know you're going to be in Connecticut on Saturday, and then you're going up to Massachusetts and New York and all those little states in the eastern seaboard that Californians have a hard time keeping straight.
Yeah.
But www.sethadam.com, and that's Adam, there's no S. So also all you people who emailed and with say, please ask Seth Adams. It's not Adams, it's Adam. and all right. And your music is available on iTunes. It's available on Spotify, Bandcamp, SoundCloud, everywhere where fine music is either sold or given away. Is that, did I miss anything there?
Pretty much. It's available everywhere.
All right. Well, I really want to thank you for spending the time with us. This has been so much fun, and it's so great to hear about your dog and your wedding, your marriage, and your honeymoon out in Southern California. Unfortunately, it's 47 degrees here today, but that's okay. I'm sure it'll get warmer by next week.
Hopefully.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you to all your listeners.
This has been a delight, and let us know when you're going to play out here, and we'll have you back on the show and talk about it, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening today. You've been listening to Music Friday Live. I'm Patrick O'Heffernan, your host. And thank you to everybody on the CyberStation USA network on the East Coast, the Blog Talk Radio network here on the West, our radio affiliates, our stations in London with the Artist Echoes Network. Follow our Twitter feed and get real-time updates on our guests. Our producer is Lars Christensen. Our program director is Jason Bartleben. Our intern is Angeline Serrano. You can download this and other Music Friday programs at blogtalkradio.com. And we'll be, and of course, we're up on iTunes as podcast. We are going to Mexico next week, so we're not going to be doing live shows until the 17th of March, so St. Patrick's Day. You know, we just got back from Cuba with a handful of music. Now we're going to Mexico with and bring back some more music, too. So you can always listen to us on podcast. Check our Facebook page, and it'll update you on our guests. In the meantime, have a great musical weekend. And here are some more of those sweet memories.